We're going to begin in Acts, the fourth chapter this morning, and while you're turning, I'll pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we count it a privilege to come into your house. We thank you for the songs, for the testimonies. We thank you for your faithfulness, even through the tragedies and trials that many have faced and went through. We thank you, Lord, for the hope of the future, even though some events of life are not to our liking and not to what we desire to see. But I pray, God, that you'll help us to focus on you. I pray, as we look into your word, you'll quicken my mind this morning that I'd speak what I ought. Quicken the minds of the hearers that they would not just hear, but discern and perceive and be able to receive your truth. Help us this morning, I pray, and we'll give you the praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Begin to meditate actually yesterday afternoon and through the evening hours yesterday on this morning's message. And I prayed for every one of you in the building and at least that many more that's not in the building this morning and your loved ones and settled my mind. But what kept coming back to my mind is we are fast approaching Christmas. I mean, we are, believe it or not, we're in the middle of approaching Christmas. And this is supposed to be the celebration of Jesus Christ coming as Messiah into the world, right? That's what's supposed to be happening, is the celebration of Jesus. Now, I know there's all kinds of reactions to Christmas among Christians. I know I've heard all the arguments, all the excuses. I'm well aware of the abuses, folks. But I tell you what, if we don't take this time to celebrate the birth of Christ, we probably ain't going to celebrate it. Amen? Now, I know it's not actually probably the season in which he is born, and I know the origins of the... I know all those things. But I also think we need a time to celebrate the coming of Jesus the Savior into the world. And I plan to take a few of the services this month to consider the meaning of Christmas. I chose this morning Acts 4 and 11 and 12. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other name given under heaven by which people may be saved. There is no other route to heaven. There is no other route to right standing with God. There is no other name given under heaven whereby people must be saved. The primary reason Jesus came into this world was to bring salvation to you and me. That's the primary meaning of Christmas. His coming into the world was to bring you and I salvation. Now, God created a perfect world. When God created it, it's not as we see. It's not as things now exist. He created a perfect world. And in that perfect world, he created a special creation that could know him and relate to him. Amen? We're told we were created in his image to have fellowship and companionship with him. He created humans in his image in the sense that we have intellect, we have the capacity to feel, to know, and the capacity to love. He created this special creation, you and I, so that he could reveal himself to them as he is. That he could show them his goodness, show them his holiness, show them his love, and then that they could see him as he really is. Love him in return. Commune with him. And then finally spend all eternity with him. We see this playing out in the beginning of creation, right? God came down and walked with Adam and Eve in a perfect garden and had communion with them. Right? I've said it many times. That fellowship with us, voluntary, loving fellowship, is what's in it for God and all the creation. Amen? God is so beyond our imagination. His power is so beyond our imagination. What he has created is so beyond our imagination that he didn't need puny man to show people how great he was. Amen? What he desired is a being that could see him as he really is, have a voluntary choice, not as the angels just serving, but a voluntary choice, and see him as he is, and then respond to his love and his goodness and love back to him again. Amen? Yeah. Now, to accomplish this, as I said, God had to create humans with a free choice. They could choose freely what they wanted to do. Amen? Because you have to have the capacity to choose to be able to love. Because love has to be voluntary. That's the nature of it. Amen? Love is voluntary. God also knew, before He ever created the world, that these humans, His special creation, would choose selfishly and sinfully. Because God knows everything there is to know, beginning and end. So before He ever embarked on creation, God knew this special creation that He had created to commune with Him, to have fellowship with Him, in which He had imprinted His own image. Amen? So He could have real fellowship with Him. He knew that He was going to live selfishly, choose sinfully. Amen? He knew that before there ever was creation. He knew that sin was going to enter and mar His perfect creation. But before our God ever began creation, He devised this plan of salvation. Nothing about it is reactionary. Nothing about it is a second thought. Nothing about it is plan B. Everything about this salvation, God in His wisdom and power and His love devised before creation began. Before anything was ever created, God devised a plan to save His special creation from sin and bring them back to Himself. 1 Peter 1 and 18 says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." He said God already, before the foundations of the world, had put this plan in place. Revelation 13:8 says, "The book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world." It means that God, before creation ever began, devised the plan of salvation whereby Jesus Christ would come into the world and pay the price for sin. Amen. Jesus agreed to come into this world and pay the price for our sin. Before creation ever began, now think about this. Jesus Christ was God, is God. But He agreed to become a human being, come into this world. Jesus came into this world primarily to die for our sins that we might be saved. Now there's other purposes, but His primary purpose was to die for our sins. John 3:13, "No one has ascended into heaven except He who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only Son of God." Jesus came expressly into this world for the purpose of dying that we might be saved. He came because God loved us, His special creation, these human beings created in His image that He wanted fellowship with. Loved them so much that Jesus Christ came and died that He might have fellowship with us. I know the question's often asked, well, why did Jesus have to die? Well, the short answer is because the penalty of sin is death. Eternal death, really. Once sin is committed, listen to me. Once sin is committed, the only just penalty is death. Suffering doesn't pay for it. The consequences doesn't pay for it. Religious activity doesn't pay for it. Ceremonies don't pay for it. The only thing that pays for your and I, my sin, once it's committed, you can't go back and change it. Once it's committed, the only thing that takes care, only just penalty is death. That's all. That's what you and I deserve. Well, why did God impose such a penalty on sin? Why did God impose such a penalty on sin? Well, the answer is because of the hideousness and destructiveness of sin. Because we live in a mixed world, because sin's all around us, we often lose sight of the hideousness of sin, the evil of sin, because it's so prevalent around us, right? We see it every day. We deal with it every day. We lose sight of how hideous it is. We often don't see the hideousness of sin. But sin is hideously evil. Choosing to do selfishly what we want to do without regard for our loving Creator and without regard for our fellow man is a hideous thing. Left unchecked, sin is hideous beyond belief. You watch. Look at history. Those who are left with the power to do what they wanted to do without constraint committed atrocities beyond belief. And we could recite names and places and countries and times where you can't believe human beings could drop to such a low level. And yet, not just one or two, many, many did. Amen?
Yes.
The prevalence of it around us keeps us from seeing the hideousness of the slaughter of unborn babies day by day in our own communities. It's only the influence of good and the influence of God that keeps evil in check. Even in sinful people, evil is kept in check by their conscience, which is the influence of God. The destructiveness of sin is so severe that death is the only rightful punishment. Amen?
Yeah.
Now the problem here is that all of mankind have sinned. All of us have sinned. That's the problem, right? It's hideous. It's repulsive. It's so hideous and evil that it deserves death. And yet all of us are guilty.
Amen?
Amen? All of God's creation stood guilty before Him. Everybody needs forgiveness. Everyone needs this salvation that Jesus brought. Jesus came into the world as one of us, a real human. He wasn't God pretending to be a human. He was and is, to this day, a real human. He lived as we live. He felt things like we feel them. He got tired like we get tired. He gets frustrated like we get frustrated. He is weak at times, physically weak. He is beaten after he's beaten at his trial. He's too weak to carry his own cross. Even though he's God of the universe, he never used his power as God for himself, ever. He lived his life as a human being. Never used his power to combat Satan in his own life and his temptations. He used the Word of God in his temptations. Amen? And he suffered. He felt things. He felt the rejection on the cross. He had temptations like you and I have temptations. There's only one difference between him and us. He never sinned. Amen? A real human. Hebrews 4:15, we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect was tempted as we are, yet without sin. He is just like us. He never used his power as God for himself. The one difference was, even though he is tempted, he never sinned. Never sinned. Jesus is the only human that ever lived that did not need to die for his own sin. The only one that ever lived that didn't need to die for his own sins. Therefore, he could take our place and die in our place. A real death, by the way, as a real human for us. As a penalty for our sins. Hebrews 10:1 says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. for then would they not have ceased to be offered? But because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance again made of sin every year, for it's not possible the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. God never accepted the blood of bulls and goats for taking away sin. It was a form. All those saved before Christ are still saved by their faith looking forward to Christ. Amen. We look back to His death. They look forward to His death. All those that made heaven their home made it by faith. Amen. This is the brilliance and beauty of salvation. God is a fair and just and holy God. Amen.
Yes.
He is not arbitrary. God never does things just because He can. Never. Never does God do things just because He's God. Always He acts in character. That means everything He does is fair, just, holy, good. Everything He does is loving, kind. Amen? Because He always acts in His character. He never does. I see people think, well, God can do this just because He's... No. He would cease to be God. He would cease to be the moral ruler of the universe if He isn't perfectly holy, perfectly good. Amen? Justice demands the price of sin be paid. Amen? It must be paid. God's not going to get around that. God will see justice is done. But God in His love is also merciful and compassionate.
That's right.
He wants the communion and companionship of His special creator, those created in His image. That's why the whole creation took place, so He could have that communion and fellowship. So God chose in Jesus Christ to become a human in His own creation to pay the price for our sins. That's how much God loved you. Condescended to become a human, part of His own creation, allowed Himself to be abused, ridiculed, mocked, and finally killed. And the real purpose was so you and I could come in right relationship with Him. So we don't have to pay the price for our sin, so that we can be redeemed, so we can be saved. Amen? He chose to become a human, Jesus of Nazareth, for all eternity, in order to redeem us from when we get to heaven, in the new heavens, new earth, Jesus Christ, the man, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, will be there. Amen? He redeemed us. Redeem means to buy back. He owned all of us. He owned this creation. But He bought us back from the sin. Bought us back from sin and evil by His own death. Amen? Some might say, well, if this is Jesus' plan, or if this is God's plan all along, why didn't He send Jesus right away when people sinned? Well, the answer is, we need to be able to understand some things before it do us any good.
Yeah.
We need to be able to understand right and wrong, good and evil. God needed to reveal to us, and He patiently did, reveal to us what we ought to do, what we ought not to do, how we ought to live, what is fair, what is just, what is good. We need to see the evil of sin. Mankind needed to see the effects of sin. We also need to see the character of God. God patiently showed us what He was like. His goodness, His holiness, His mercy, His love. We need to understand the necessity of salvation. We needed to see the penalty for sin. Amen? The all-wise and all-knowing God prepared the knowledge of mankind for salvation. Had we been ready sooner, He'd have sent them sooner. Amen? Again, because God is perfectly holy, just, and good. When the time was right, He sent Jesus. When we could understand who He was and what His mission was, God sent Him. Galatians 4:4 says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons.
Amen.
When the time was right, He sent Jesus. Amen? And He offered this salvation to everyone. Literally everyone. Amen. That's what I think of every time I see those State Farm commercials. Literally everyone. Amen. That's not a plug for them. I don't know that that's right, but that's what I think of. God literally, freely offers salvation to everyone. Amen?
Yes.
Revelation 22:17 said, "In the Spirit the bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." God came into this world, gave Himself because He wanted you to be saved. He wanted you to know Him. Not to get religious, not just to live a certain way. He wanted you to really know Him. Now, yes, you will live a certain way if you know Him. Yes, you will obey. Yes, it will bring you into communion with Him. But that the real reason is He wanted your communion and your fellowship. Amen? John 6:37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will that sent me, that all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day." Amen? Everyone who will, the condition of receiving this great salvation is to repent and believe. The message of John the Baptist was repentance, right? Matthew 3:1, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And for this, that he was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Amen? Repentance is sorrow and regret for what we've done. When we realize we done messed up, amen? We realize, hey, look what I've done. Not circumstances, not all. No, look what I've done. Repentance is sorrow and regret, but it's more than that. True repentance leads us to change. Amen? Jesus first preached repentance too when he began his ministry. Matthew 4:17, "From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand." Repentance is linked to believing the good news that Jesus paid the price for our sins. First of all, people need to see the trouble they're in. Amen? Too many today are buying a false Christianity because they're still operating out of selfish motives. They're being sold, hey, this is going to make you happy and wealthy. This is going to make everything go right in your life. This is going to smooth everything out for you. Instead of saying, hey, you messed up. You're in trouble. There's an angry God, rightfully angry at what you've done, threatening you with eternal death. And you deserve it. Amen? Repentance is saying, hey, and understand there ain't nothing you can do to make it right. Now I see everybody scramble to make things right. You can't do nothing to make it right. Amen? One of those things, you can't have an excess of doing what's right. Amen? You can't do more than what's right to do. You can't ever have an excess to make up for the wrong. Mark 1:14, "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying, The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God's at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Jesus' message. Repent and believe the gospel. Acts 3:19, it was the apostles' message. "Repent ye therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Again, repentance and change are linked together. Repent, be converted, be changed. Amen? We are saved by faith in the death of Jesus Christ for our sins. John 3:14 says, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent his Son into the world, to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." God wants you to be saved, and it's by believing this truth that Jesus Christ came and died for your sins. He took, God doesn't just forgive sin, and the sin goes unpunished. The punishment for your sins was carried out in the death of Jesus Christ. God doesn't just forgive sins and forget about the punishment. This is not as if somebody put in jail and receives a pardon. This is as if somebody was convicted of a crime and somebody else stepped up and took the punishment for that crime. The crime's not unpunished. It's just that Jesus Christ bore your and I's punishment. There's no salvation without repentance. Amen? There's no salvation without repentance. Our world has become so dark, they really need to know, in a kind way, but they need to know they messed up. They're in trouble because of the choices they made. They're in trouble because of what they're choosing to do. And unless they choose to quit doing what they're doing, the trouble ain't going to go away. Amen? People need to know that in their own personal lives. Things are a mess because of choices they made. And if they don't quit making the choices, they still going to have the mess. Amen?
True.
We're saved by faith in the death of Jesus Christ for our sins. John 1:10, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to Him He gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which are born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Those that believe on Him. In some ways, this great salvation is a very complicated thing. You can continue to study and study your entire life and not know everything there is to know. There's intricacies of God's Word and God's law and God's will. There's intricacies concerning the kingdom of God and how He works. There's lots of things to be learned about God and about His working with mankind. But in one way, salvation is very simple. It's a recognition that we, of our own choices, have chose to do that which was evil. And because of that, God is rightfully angry with us and has sentenced us to death. And there ain't nothing we can do about it. Nothing we can do to change that equation. Except Jesus Christ voluntarily came and died to pay the price for your sin. So if we recognize the evil in our life, repent of it, truly sorry we made those choices, sorry enough to change, by God's grace and God's help, to not live that way anymore, but endeavor to live without committing sin, and couple that with believe that Jesus Christ came to die for your sins. It's that simple. It really is. It's that simple. Amen? To acknowledge where we're at, who we are, what went on, and to accept the free, unmerited grace of God, favor of God, in the giving of Jesus' life for our sins. Amen? We come into the holiday season. Let's remember, this is why we celebrate Christmas. You know why it's a big deal that Jesus Christ came into this world? Because without Him coming as a human, we are desperately lost still. Amen? Without His death for our sins, we're still lost without hope. It's a big deal because Jesus came into this world to pay the price for our sins so that we might be reconciled to God. Now, your forgiveness is not the end purpose of salvation. You hear me? God's end purpose of salvation is communion with Him, fellowship with Him, right? That's what God wants. Not just our repentance. God wants our fellowship with Him. Amen? The end of salvation isn't forgiveness. The end goal of salvation isn't forgiveness. That's the beginning door The end goal for God is fellowship with Him. That our, as He came down and walked with Adam and Eve in the evening in the cool of the garden, that's what God wanted restored. That's the end goal of salvation. That's why Jesus gave His life. Yes, so we could be forgiven. But for so much more than that, that we could be brought back into right relationship with God. That God could redeem, God could buy back to Himself His special creation that He made for Himself to commune with, to have fellowship with, to be able to enjoy a real relationship with, to be able to show Himself and love them and them love Him in return. Amen? Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other way to come into right relationship with God. No amount of good works, no amount of penance or suffering in this life, no amount of religious activity. There's only one way to have our sins forgiven, only one way to come into right relationship with God. John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I hope as you contemplate Christmas, you will truly contemplate God coming into this world. And you'll know why He came. He came as one of us so that He might die, so that we could have our fellowship with God restored. Not just forgiveness to live our own life the way we want to live it. I see so much of Christianity kind of sell this religion as a ticket to make it to heaven, but still live your life the way you want to live it. That ain't going to work, folks. You do that, you're going to miss it. Because the end goal is not to make heaven. The end goal is not to be forgiven. The end goal is to have fellowship with God. Right. Amen? Yep. To have that restored. That's what's in it for God. That's what's in it for God for all of eternity. That's why God bothered with all of creation. That's the only thing out of creation that's going to remain. Amen? God made us in His image as His special creation because He wants your and I's fellowship. He wants our communion with Him. That's why Jesus came into the world. When you look at that little babe in the manger and all that's depicted in this holiday season, remember, He came to die for your sins. He never had to step into creation. And He really was God. I hear a lot of nonsense about in this postmodern world about who they try and explain away Jesus. So I tell you what, you don't have an explanation for Jesus. He was God and yet He is fully man. It's a mystery you can only take so far, you're not going to grasp. The only reason He decided to step into His own, we can't even begin to imagine how little this earth is compared to our own solar system. And how little our solar system is compared to our galaxy that we're in. And how that just makes up part of the enormous universe that's around us. And the God that spoke that into existence is concerned about little old puny you and me on this speck of dust that don't amount to much of anything. And the reason He is, because He created us in His image so that He could have beings. He has beings that do His every will, His every word. He has beings that praise Him nonstop. He has beings that do whatever He bids them to do. Amen? But He wanted beings that had His image, that He could relate to, that could relate to Him, that could have fellowship with Him. And all the hustle and bustle, let's not miss that. Amen? We got a message the world needs to hear. A lot of religious folks is completely missing the point of salvation. They really have. They've just like in Jesus' time, that which was the true revelation of God, many had already so missed the mark that they were enemies of God instead of the true carriers of His revealed religion. And I fear that's happening today. We'll have more to say on lots of this, but I want to remind you. Primary reason Jesus came into this world, primary reason He became one of us so that He could die for you and I. Amen?
Yes.
Let's make sure we endeavor. I have so many thoughts on that. I thought with having little grandkids, reminded again how precious life is. And when they're your grandkids or your kids, there's a special closeness you feel. Connected. They're part of you. And as you nurture them and they grow and you show them your love and you see them responding in love back to you, that is a wonderful thing, isn't it? And I thought that's the same way God feels about His special creation. He so longs that they, and I tell you what, if you get alienated to one of your kids, I haven't been, but if you did, what a painful thing that would be. Amen? Because you want their love. You want the fellowship. You want them to know your love and love you in return. Amen? That's how God's heart goes out to mankind. Those who respond are going to find a life that's beyond our imagination. Good. Amen? May God help you. I'll quit rambling. As you stand, as we close in a verse of song. Heavenly Father,